العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد For the love of Abba Abdullah al-Hussein, with the loudest of our voices, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, arwahuna lahu al-fida, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Azzama Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره مع إمام المنصور المؤيد. Once again, we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this moment and this opportunity to continue to acquire the understanding of our religion from the institution of Karbala and from the teachings of our beloved master and savior Aba Abdullah al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi. If brothers and sisters will recall very well, last night we discussed the subject of tranquility and ways and means of dealing with challenges in our lives. We outline factors that when we put in place or in perspectives, we will obtain tranquility and we will obtain peace in our lives. And in conclusion, we encourage one another not to give up. Whatever the situation might be, we should rely solely on Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if brothers and sisters will remember very well, I emphasized a lot on the importance of tawakkul, where I said it is so important that we as lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt, in whatever situation that we find ourselves in, the most important weapon for us to be able to be in that situation without any pain and without any difficulty is to have a tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to continue from where we left off last night. And my topic of discussion for tonight will be the power of dua in helping us overcome our challenges in life. This is a very important discussion, which is in relation to how we make good use of dua. And I want to approach the discussion of tonight in three ways. The first way is to look at the essence and the definition of dua within the religion of Islam. And second stage of our examination, we will look at the need for dua. Do we really need dua or not? Because some will say, we establish our salat every day and night, so there is no need for dua. So we'll look at that in the second stage of our examination. And last stage, we'll look at requirements for the acceptance of our dua. That things, when we meet them, our du'as will be accepted by Allah. And if we are unable to meet them as Muslims, as believers, as lovers of Ahlul Bayt, our du'as will remain hanging. As we recite in the taqibat of our salat, وَمِن دُعَاءٍ لَا يُسْمَى. We always seek refuge and plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our dua should not be a dua which is not heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to begin the examination of tonight, we go back to that question of tawakkul ala Allah. As I mentioned, life is full of mata'ib, problems and difficulties. There is no one who does not have a challenge or difficulty or problem in his or her life. Directly or indirectly, we all have problems. Directly or indirectly, we all have challenges. We all have difficulties. And the best way to counter it and to be able to withstand it is through tawakkul. Question, what is tawakkul? Tawakkul simply means to get connected with the means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to be connected with asbabul ghayba, to be connected with the means to the world of the unseen. And when we talk of the world of unseen, we are talking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the unseen of all the unseens. So tawakkul ala Allah is to be connected with the source of mercy, is to be connected with the source of benediction, is to be connected with the source of rizq, is to be connected with the source of mercy. That is what tawakkul simply means. Now, what are the factors that will connect us to the source of the mercy of Allah? Number one is dua. Dua is a factor and is a means to connect one with the unseen, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will stop there tonight on that only. Number two is sadaqah, which our brother just highlighted. That sadaqah is a factor that can connect each and every one of us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only connecting us with Allah, sadaqah is capable of alleviating our sufferings and challenges of life. I mentioned last night, stress can lead to depression. And depression is killing so many people today in the world. There are people, they have everything in their lives, but they are not at peace with themselves. One of the ways to be at peace with yourself, because if you are at peace with yourself, in return you will be at peace with any member of the community, you will be at peace with your co-workers, is to give out charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Therefore, our beloved prophet made it very clear. As-sadaqatu tadfa'ul bala. Sadaqa removes bala. Sadaqa removes suffering. Sadaqa removes pain. Especially we as young ones, if you want to be successful in your life, you have ambitions in your life, and tomorrow, inshallah, we'll discuss ambitious personality from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. And we'll see what is to have future ambition in the eye of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But now, if you have your ambitions as young boys and girls, as youth and future leaders of our community, you want to become a doctor, or you want to obtain PhD, or there are targets that you want to achieve in your life, wallah, one of the best and the quickest way to help you achieve it is through charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you give out and help out, especially the mu'mineen and mu'minat who are out there under oppression, under difficulties, under pains every day in their lives, Allah will facilitate your affairs in this dunya. And that affairs will help you for your affairs to be facilitated on the day of Qiyamah. Number three factor that will connect us with the world of unseen is silatul rahim. It's to have a very strong family bond, a very strong family relations. Today you find some of us with severing family relationships. You find this brother is not talking to his brother. This sister is not talking to her sister. This one is not talking to his uncle. Rasulullah mentioned, if you want Allah's calamity to descend on your severe family relationships. So family relationship is also one way of connecting with the world of the unseen. And the last one, which I'm just giving you the glossaries, is to be obedient to your parents. Uququl walidain, being disobedient to your father and mother, it brings calamity. It brings problems. It brings difficulty. Sometimes one finds himself in pains and he doesn't know what is the cause of this pain. Sometimes it may be because of silatul rahim. Sometimes it may be because you are not giving sadaqah. And sometimes it may be because you are not obedient to your father and to your mom. And so one day, Rasulullah went to cemetery. No, somebody was dying. And then they called in Rasulullah to make sure the person recite La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah before he departs. Rasulullah came next to this person, young youth. Rasulullah tried for him to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He could not say. The Rasulullah turned and asked them, is his parents alive? They said, yes, his father is late, but the mom is alive. Rasulullah said, can I speak to the mom? He said, why not? They called the mom. And Rasulullah asked her, do you have any problem with your son? She said, yes, for the past 6 years, we are not in talking terms. Rasulullah asked her, are you ready and willing to forgive your son? She said, I will only forgive him because of you, Rasulullah. Not because of him. Then she said, I've forgiven him. The moment she said, I've forgiven him, the boy immediately recited, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So therefore, it's so important to have a very good relationship with our parents. Now let's go to the question of dua. Dua, brothers and sisters, is a weapon. And I want to discuss the essence of dua from a different perspective, whereby our scholars are of the view that everything that you see on the face of universe, it is made up of two components. One component, they call it hakika, and the other component, they call it raqika. And scholars say, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيكَ وَرَقِيكَ. Everything as hakika, I will explain to what is hakika. And everything as raqika. What is hakika? Hakika means the reality of something. Raqika means the substance of that thing. So everything is made up of two things. You have a reality and you have a substance. I give an example with insan. Your father, your mom, your brother, your sister, or even your son, or your employee, or employer, or your co-worker. Each and every person is of akika and rakika. You have a reality and you have what is called substance. What is the reality of an insan? The reality of insan is that he is an akilun and mufakir. Insan is got akil. And insan is got the potential to think and reflect. Every insan is got that. Muslim, they've got the akil to think. Non-Muslims, they've got akil to think. Shias, they've got akil to think. Non-Shias, they've got akil to think. Hence, when you go to that letter of Amir al-Mu'minin, which he gave to Malik Ashtar, when Malik Ashtar was going to Egypt, one line, Mawlai Kainat told Malik, you will find two kinds of people, isn't it? Those you share humanity with, and those you share faith with. Humanity here meaning you have the akil. You can think. And you have the mashair, the emotions. That is the hakika of insan. But what is the substance of insan? Substance of insan, as I mentioned the other night, is what am I able to achieve out of my akil? Is my akil useful to me in my life? Or my akil is not useful to me in my life? This year, in my resolution, what have I put in my resolution to achieve as a result of the intellect given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because our Sif Imam mentioned, the first thing Allah created is the akil of insan. And when Allah created the akil, Allah said, I've never created something which is so dear to me than you akil. So your akil is so important. Try as much as you can to make good use of your akil, to be exalted in your life of this dunya, so that you'll be exalted in the eye of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Hence, Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioned about the substance of insan. Imam said, تَكَلَّمُوا تُعْرَفُوا فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ مَحْبُوءٌ تَحْتَ لِسَانِ. What requires that? مَحْبُوءٌ تَحْتَ تَيَّ لِسَانِ. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, when you see people, don't get astonished and amazed by their personality and look. Wait for them to start speaking. When they start talking and speaking, you will know this personality, where is it coming from? Imam said, تَكَلَّمُوا تُعْرَفُوا فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ مَخْبُوءٌ تَعْتَ لِسَانِ. Amir al-Mu'mineen, speak out. When you speak out, you'll be known, because your personality is under your tongue. Hence, Quran said, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَكُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِكَوْلِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدًا. Allah says, when you see the hypocrites, you will be astonished and amazed by their look and personality. They have the best of look. They have the best of personality. But when they start speaking, كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدًا. When they start speaking, you will see like, they are like a dead wood. So therefore, your substance lies under your tongue, lies under your personality. And I give you a typical example. You know Shafi'i? Shafi'i is the imam of one of the school of Sunni, because they have four schools, Ambali, Shafi'i, Maliki, and Hanafi. So Shafi'i is one of the school. There was one Maulana, so-called Maulana, with a big turban. His turban bigger than my turban. And very long beard. This is a real story. Very long beard, maybe three times he can hold. He went to Shafi'i. And Shafi'i by then was regarded the leader of that time, Imam, the most learned person. So this Maulana entered and greeted Shafi'i. When he went, Shafi'i had a problem with his leg, so Shafi'i could not stand properly. But he managed to stand for the respect of this person, because he saw long beard, and also, mashallah, the turban is manifold, my turban. Then the Maulana sat next to Malik, Shafi'i, because I want you to see how important akhl is. And your substance is so important in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Maulana asked Shafi'i, Shafi'i, can I ask you a question? Shafi'i said yes. He asked him, when is the time for Zuhur Salah? Shafi'i said, of course, Ba'd al-Zawal, after Zawal. Then the Maulana asked Shafi'i, when is Zawal? Shafi'i said, Allah, if you don't know Zawal, let Shafi'i go and sit so that he can get healed because his leg is paining. Because Shafi'i never expected that from him. A person like this, I thought you are a great scholar. But look at the question you are asking. The same thing when you come to dua. Dua is of a hakika and rakika. Dua is got a reality and dua as an essence. Very unfortunate, we undermine dua. That is why I'm going through this discussion. What is the hakika of dua and what is the rakika of dua? Meaning, what is the reality of dua and what is the substance of dua? We get to know from beautiful tradition of our beloved prophets. What did prophet say about dua? Rasulullah said, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." Dua is the conscience. You know, Rasulullah is the word conscience, or the mind, or the intellect of ibadah. Meaning, ibadah is the reality and dua is substance to ibadah. Meaning, if I make ibadah, my salah, my fasting, my recitation of Quran, and I do not make dua, meaning that ibadah is void of the substance. Because when you talk of ibadah, what is ibadah really? Ibadah, scholars gave it three definitions. Some are of the view that ibadah simply means idhar al-mamluqiyya. Meaning, when I stand here and I say Allahu Akbar, I should be in a position to demonstrate that I'm owned completely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you stand and perform a salah and you are not in that mood, then your ibadah is not a complete ibadah. You should be in a position to recognize that you own nothing. Everything is owned by Allah, and you yourself, you are owned by Allah. Hence, Mawlai Kainat in Munajat, Mawlai ya Mawlai, Antal Maliku wa Anal Mamluk, Hal Yarhamul Mamluka illa. You are Malik and I am Mamluk. Is there anyone who will bless the Mamluk except the Malik? So therefore, that's the meaning, the first meaning of ibadah. And they said this is the lowest meaning of ibadah. The second meaning of ibadah, they call it at-ta'allu. This is by Sayyid Khoi rahmatullahi alayh. He said, what is at-ta'allu? At-ta'allu means when I stand there and I say Allahu Akbar. My attention should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should not think of anything of my life, anything of this dunya. I should be in a position of annihilating in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last one is the most important definition of ibadah. What is that? They said, when you perform ibadah, in the course of the ibadah, you obtain humility and humbleness. They said, whoever is able to transfer that humility and humbleness in his daily life, then he's regarded as someone making ibadah. We're sitting now in the mosque, in the Imambara. Everybody is humble, listening to the lectures. Islam says, if I'm able to transfer this humbleness and humility in my social interaction, at my workplace, at university, I'm humble like the way I am humble in salah, then it's regarded as ibadah in the eye of Allah. Now, what is dua? Dua, my brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention because we are making these mistakes a lot. Most of us think that dua is when I sit there, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasat kulla shay. Yani opening my mouth and pronouncing those words, most of us think that is ibadah or that is dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayk. Dua is not something you say with your mouth. This thing that we say, they are prerequisite to get into the reality of dua. What is then dua? Dua means when I finish this dua ikumail, and I finish this dua itawassul, or I finish dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, or I finish dua Arafah of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, by the end of the dua, I should find myself fully in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what dua is all about. You find how many of us come for dua e kumail. Allahumma inna asaluka bi rahmatika allati wasa'at kulla shay' wa bi quwwatika allati qahharta. Yaani, we just reciting the dua, the meanings are on the notice board and nobody's paying attention to the meaning. We are not connected to the dua. Dua means connection. I must be connected. That's what you see. We are not changing spirituality. Why? And every Thursday we have dua kumail. Every Tuesday we have dua tawassul. Every day of Arafah we have dua Arafah. But why are we not connecting? Isn't it when Kumail Ibn Ziyad, he went to Mawlai Kainat in the middle of the night and he requested the dua of Hidr, which is dua Kumail. What did Mawlai Kainat say to him? Kumail, I'm giving you something of the goodness of dunya and akhirah. What's your relationship with dua Kumail? So dua is raqiqatul ibadah. Dua is the substance of ibadah. Where do you know it? Let me refer you back to Quran. The verse I quoted. Allah says, wa iza sa'alaka ibadi. Underline the word ibadi. Ibadi is from the word abd. Abd is from the word ibadah. Yani the word su'al is a sa'alaka. When my servant asks you, it means dua is connected to ibadah. Meaning dua is substance to ibadah. Ibadi, Allah says. One ayah, Allah made it very clear. ادعوني استجب لكم but he said ان الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. Allah says call on me, I will respond to you, but those who are arrogant of my worship. Allah used the word worship here, but it's referring to ibadah. Therefore when you look at the lives of our beloved imams, you know the sufferings of imams and the mazlumiyat of our imams. The only two imams who had the ample opportunities to spread the message in a big house and school was Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir, his beloved father. Huh? The rest of the imams had no opportunity. How did they impart the knowledge? They did it through dua. If you want to understand the school of thought of Ahl al-Bayt, get hold of our du'as. Our du'as are made up of all the five usuluddin and the 10 furu'uddin. Understand the du'as of Ahl al-Bayt. It's not just du'a that we recite. Du'a Kumail alone, if you understand it, it is enough for you, life of this dunya and hereafter. Let alone so many du'as that we have. So dua is raqiqatul ibadah. It's the substance of ibadah. Yani, you have to beautify your life with dua. Beautify your life like ornamentals in horticulture. You know, you beautify a place, landscape with it. So the same thing applies. If I make my salah every day, I go to the mosque every day, I need dua in my life. And when I attend dua Kumail, I give it topmost priority. You know why we don't give priority to this dua? Because we do not understand them. We are not connected with this dua. Mawlai Kainat wouldn't give Kumail in the middle of the night. It means it has substance. It is something very crucial and important to our lives. Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, Imam Zain al-Abidin wouldn't sit there and recite that long dua. Dua Arafah, Abba Abdullah wouldn't sit there and recite that long dua. So I urge one and all, lovers and followers of Ahl al-Bayt, let's try as much as we can to understand the true teachings of Ahl al-Bayt through the du'as of Ahl al-Bayt. Now let's go to the second examination. Do we need dua? Here I want you to pay attention. There are some lessons and conclusions I want to draw here. Something I don't need dua. As when they come to the mosque, Allahumma inna asaluka bi rahmatika. Yani people, the way they compete in reciting the dua to finish. This is ibadah. Ibadah, recite it with understanding and meaning. Yes, you have a busy schedule of life, no doubt. You have to go to work the next day, it's true. That is also part of ibadah. But at least do it nicely for you to get connected with it. Why do we need dua? Do we really need it? Why do we have to come here every Thursday? Or if I don't come, I recite with my family. Do we really need all this dua on the night of Qadr? Subhanaka ya la ilaha illa ant. Al-ghawth, al-ghawth, al-ghawth. Khalisna min al-nari ya Rab. Do we really need it? Do we really need Jawshan al-Sagir? Why Ahl al-Bayt so many du'as? I said, yes, we need du'a. But I'm going to approach in a very logical way to support my argument with Quran and Hadith. The first one, we need du'a because naturally we need to audit ourselves. What do I mean? There are so many people in our communities, they are specialized in auditing others. Fulan is wrong. These people, they are wrong. That one is wrong. Yani, there are people, even if you bring a malaika, they will tell you you are wrong. Some people are known in how they analyze the personalities of others analytically. In Arab, they call it naqid, yani, a person who make it intiqad of people. This is wrong. But when you come to that person and you say, my brother or my father or my mom or my sister, my daughter, can't you sit for 1 minute to audit yourself? The person will not be ready to audit him or herself. Dua is an invitation for self-audit. Dua is an invitation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to audit ourselves. Why should I be worried about him? Yes, mu'min is a mirror towards another mu'min, no doubt. You see yourself in him, meaning your pain is his pain, her pain is your pain. But dua is an invitation because you remember, it's all about reforming who we are. It's all about changing the type of people we are. And if one is unable to assess and audit him or herself, you will never and ever change in your life. You can only change if you are able to audit yourself. To say, I am wrong. I am not right here. This is totally wrong. Noor, stop. It is not okay. Don't wait for someone to come and tell you it's wrong. You need to be able to audit yourself. Hence, our beloved Prophet made it very clear. Rahimallahu abdan ishtagala bi'uyubihi an uyubin nas. Allah blesses a servant who is busy with his uyub, with his flaws, instead of being busy with the flaws of others. I have to be busy with myself. Are you masoom? We know we have 14 masoomina. That's what we know. Of course, plus all the prophets of Allah. So if I'm not masoom, it means directly here and there, I'm also at fault. And for me to be able to change, I should be able to audit myself. And this logically or philosophically, it makes a lot of sense. That I want to change my approach. I want to change the way I interact. I want to change the way I do things. I want to change the way I view people. What do? I need to admit that I am wrong. Hence, when you have a problem with somebody, it's not about him not wanting to forgive you. He only wants you to admit that you are wrong. Once you tell the person, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, then it's over. Hence, one great poet mentioned, وَلِسَانُكَ لَا تَسْكُرُ بِهِ أَوْرَةِ امْرِئٍ فَكُلُّكَ أَوْرَاتٌ وَلِلنَّاسِ أَلْسُنِي وَعَيْنُكَ إِنْ أَبْدَتْ إِلَيْكَ مُصَاوِئًا فَكُلْهَا يَا أَيْنُ لِلنَّاسِ أَعْيُنٍ الله أكبر. He said, do not use your tongue to mention the aib and flaws of others. Because you yourself entirely from top to down, you are also aib. And he said, when your face or your eyes sees the wrong of others, before your mouth utters something about their wrong, address your eye. Oh my eye, others also have eyes. They also have the sea. تَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ wa antum tatluna alkitaba afala taqilun.
Do you advise people of glad tidings, of doing good things, of changing their personalities and reforming, when you yourself, you've forgotten of yourself? Can't you reflect and ponder?
So number one, we need ibadah and we need dua,
because it invites us to do self-audit.
Hence, when you go to the dua of Arafah of Aba Abdullah, Aba Abdullah in that dua taught us it's all about self-audit.
Ana allazi akhta'tu. Ana allazi jahiltu. Ana allazi asa'tu. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ma'asum.
He said, Ya Allah, I am the one who did the ignorance.
Achieve Aba Abdullah.
I am the one who committed the error. I am the one who went against you, Allah. Then Abu Abdullah said,
Antallazi an'amta, antallazi ahsanta, antallazi mananta.
You are the one who have blessed Allah. Nothing is from me, Abu Abdullah. All the wrongs are from me, and all the good are from you, Allah.
So therefore, my brothers and my sisters, we need dua number one, because we need to do self-audit. Or else in the court of Allah will remain in the queue for quite long. Self-audit is so important.
Quran said, Alaykum anfusakum. La yadurrannakum man taqallaba iza ihtadaytum. Watch out yourself. Beware of yourself. Look after yourself. Why worry about others? You are not finished and then you want to correct others.
A blind cannot guide a blind. أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُهْدَى أَمَّنْ لَا يَهِدِّي فَمَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ Quran.
A guided is the one who can guide, but misguided cannot guide.
So Allah said, فَمَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. That is number one.
Number two, we need dua
because we need to do away with vanity and pride.
Kibr.
Idhabatul gurur.
We need dua because dua help us to be able to do away with pride. It brings humility and humbleness. That is why when you look at the nature of our duas in our mosques, dua is being recited, a person is standing left, right, somebody walk out, come in, somebody sit, somebody stretch his leg. Yani, the humility is not there. And one of the essence of dua, and as to why we need dua, is because when you are engaged in a proper and true dua, you are able to do away with pride and kibr and arrogance.
Because Quran made it very clear.
Inna al-insana la yatagha ar-ra'ahu istaghna. Insan will always exceed the limit
when he realizes that he's reached or enriched. With power, with money, with fame, with name. That's the time he raises his shoulder. It's better than everyone.
But the moment he's examined with something small of this dunya, then he will start humbling him or herself. You look at yourself. When you want to pass your exams, that's the time you make a lot of dua, a lot of wudu, a lot of salah. But the moment the paper comes out and you qualify, you tend to forget about dua anymore.
So Quran said, "Inna al-insan la yathagha an ra'ahu istaghna."
That is the nature of insan. But Islam's come forward and said, "No, don't approach dua like that." Ta'arraf ilayya fi ar-raha, a'rifuka fi ash-shiddah, Rasulullah mentioned. Allah said, "Oh my servant, know me in easiness. I will come to your rescue in difficulties." Because when you know Allah in easiness, you are able to obtain that humility and humbleness. So dua is an invitation to make us humble. Hence you find Imam Zainul Abidin. Ilahi kaifa adu'uka wa ana. Wa kaifa akta'u raja'i minka wa anta. Kaifa adu'uka wa ana. Look at, yani, this is highest level of humility and humbleness. Imam, how do I, Zainul Abidin, call on you when I am the way I am and you are the way you are? Meaning I am a slave and you are a servant.
Look at Imam Zaman in Dua Iftitah. فَلَمْ أَرَ مَوْلًا كَرِيمًا أَصْبَرَ عَلَى عَبْدٍ مِنْكَ عَلَيَّ يَا رَبَّ إِنَّكَ تَدْعُونِي فَأُوَلِّي أَنْكَ.
I've never seen the most generous master on his servant than you, Allah. Because tad'uni fa'awalli ank. Allah, you invite me and I turn away from you. وَتَتَحَبَّبُ إِلَيَّ فَأَتَبَقَّدُ عَلَيْكَ. Allah, you showing me love step by step, inch by inch, coming to me now and then. But I in return show anger to you. وَتَتَوَدَّدُ إِلَيَّ فَلَا أَكْبَلُ مِنْكَ. You try to come into my life, but I don't pay attention to you. I don't respond to you. كَأَنَّ لِيَ الْتَتَوُّلَ عَلَيْكَ. It's like I have some claim from you. But فَلَمْ يَمْنَاكَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ لِي وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِ. That has never stopped you from showering me your mercy and rahmah. So therefore, dua is to make us a humble, brothers and sisters. Because it is a raqiqatul ibadah. It is the substance of a ibadah. And I urge and invite one and all. When you come for dua every Thursday and every Tuesday, or you go for dua with your friends, with your families, do it with humility and humbleness. Humble yourself. Sit there as if that is the last dua of your life. See, some of us, when we go for an interview seeking for job, how do you humble yourself? Even the type of greeting you give because you want the job is something else. When you sit in front of the master of all masters, you need to humble yourself. He is the only one who says, with all your problems, Udu'uni, come to me. So dua, it humbles you. It makes you humble. And look at Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He said, Ya ilahi in dua Muhammad al-Thumali, Ana as-sagiru alladhi rabbayta. Oh Allah, I am the young one that you brought up. Wa ana al-jahilu alladhi allamta. I am the ignorant that you have taught, Allah. وَأَنَا الضَّالُّ الَّذِي هَدَيْتَ. I am the one in vain and astray that you have guided. So dua is to bring that humility and humbleness in us. The third need for dua, as to why do we need dua? We need dua because we need amn, inner peace. Yes, last night I spoke about it. Dua, it brings peace. If there is one very quick remedy to make us forget our stresses from becoming depressed is dua. It heals the hearts. Completely healing. The reason why we don't get healed when we make the dua, because as I mentioned, we are not connected. We come to our rushing, the last transaction we had at work is still at the back of our mind. Hence, we don't enjoy the dua. We don't relate to the dua. But we need the dua because naturally we need peace. And inner peace is the most important peace that we need in our lives. Hence Allah made it very clear in Quran. Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub. Those who believe in Allah and they find peace and tranquility from the remembrance of Allah. Allah says, indeed, tranquility and peace comes on account of remembering Allah. So we need dua because we want peace, brothers and sisters. And if you engage with our daily duas, with our monthly dua, when you look at the set of our duas, it is a way of life. We have a daily duas, you have a monthly duas, you have yearly duas. These duas, if you bring them together, your entire life will be with peace. Therefore, we need peace, brothers and sisters. Don't allow weeks to pass without engaging with these du'as of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wassalam. And last but not least, there are so many, but these are the most important ones. We need du'a because we need madad. Madad means help. Like you say, Ya Ali madad. Madad, it means help. But help in what sense? In unexpected situation. Sometimes you find something will happen unexpectedly. Wallahi, if you are someone who has a strong affiliation with dua, things will come with easiness. Hence Allah said, Udhukuruni adhukurukum. Remember me, I will remember you. What else do you want? You may remember your friend 10 times, he may not even remember you for once. But Allah say guarantee. You remember me, I will remember you. And as I mentioned, in most difficult situation, wallah, Allah will come and rest. It's just that sometimes we doubt. We are Muslims, but we doubt. We are Shias, but we doubt. Even I come for du'a, Kumail, I'm doubting. I'm just going because it's a culture. That's why I want them to finish within a twinkle of an eye. I want to go home. We doubt. I want you to go into it with full understanding and awareness. And I'm telling you, it will. Today, look at Christianity in the world. They go out with healing and whatever, and people are connected with that, and they are getting results out of that. What are the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt? So therefore, remember me, I will remember you. As scholars mentioned in a famous teaching, which I'm sure most of us know, they said there are three interpretations of this verse. Remember me above the ground, I will remember you inside the ground. Yani on earth, this dunya, you remember Allah. When it becomes tough and difficulty in barzah, in your grave, Allah will remember you. He said, remember me in easiness, I will remember you in difficulties. Now you are at ease. Money is coming. Life is going very well. Education things are taking shape. I do not have any problem. This is the time Allah expects us to engross in dua. Not when the difficulties are there. When the difficulties are there, you know what does it mean? It means I'm only doing it because of the difficulties. Allah wants you to go to Him when you are at ease. As the interpretation says, remember me in easiness, I will remember you in difficulties. And the last one said, remember me with obedience, I will remember you with mercy. Now in conclusion, what do we do for our du'as to be accepted by Allah? You see, Allah has a way of dealing with believers, and it's different from the way He deals with any other person. Sometimes you make du'a and things are not coming right. A boy wants to get married. For 1-2 years, he's making dua. Things are not coming right. A girl wants to get married. She's getting proposals. Fine. But delay upon delay, delay upon delay. There are people who want children. They are married 2 years, 3 years. Things are not coming right. They tried every doctor, gynecologist, whatever. Things are not coming right. Sicknesses we have. Doctors will try everything. They will prescribe every medication. But things are not coming right. There are person when he comes to the community, whoever he bumps on, they fight. They fight. When he opens his mouth, he fights, so he tends to become quiet wherever he goes. We need du'a. We need du'a. Don't depend only on this material means of solving problems. You need unseen forces to solve your problems. As a Muslim, as a Shi'i, don't only depend on these material things. Yes, they are prerequisites. Don't get me wrong. We all go for it. But don't forget, divine intervention is the most important weapon in your life. You find yourself salah this week, the next day no salah. You owe 1 year salah. There are people 10 years salah they owe. And you are determined to do, but things are not getting right. What do you do? Resort to divine intervention. Number one requirement of du'a, brothers and sisters, they call it theological requirement. What is theological requirement? Begin your du'a with salawat and end your du'a with salawat. Begin with salawat and end with salawat. Rasulullah said, whoever begin du'a with salawat and end with salawat, he will find solution of his problems. The second requirement is rakiza zamania. Timing for du'a is crucial. Yes, Allah is Ar-Rahman, He accepts everywhere. But the timing you allocate for your du'a is very important. And so Ahlul Bayt, they have timing. The first timing is Thursday night and Friday during the day. That's why we have du'a Kumail. Or else du'a Kumail, you can do it any other day. But like I said, recite it on Thursday. And if by the end of the du'a you feel sad in your heart or tears comes out of your eyes, that is the acceptance of your du'a. Thursday night, you need something from Allah. You are going for an interview. Or you are going for some proposals of marriage. Or you are going for some presentation. You are going to deliver a lecture. And you want Allah to give you wisdom. Dedicate Thursday night. Raise up your hand in the middle of that night. Ask Allah humbly. Allah will not deny you.
Sinon, Muslims are moving ahead. They are also making dua. They kneel down in the middle of the night and ask Allah. The other timing of dua, of course, we all know, is the day of Arafah and the night of Arafah. That's also a very important time for dua. And another timing of dua is when rain pours. Like now it's raining. Wallah, you go and ask Allah and see. Allah will not leave you. When it rains and you make dua, Allah will accept your dua. Not only that, the moment you sit with your mom and father, and you look at the face of your mom and father with love and mercy, immediately after that, wallah, Rasulullah said, if you make dua, Allah will accept your dua. Or if your father and mom are late, and you have not abandoned them at cemetery, you now and then go and visit them, and you make wasila through your father and mom by becoming obedient son and daughter, your du'as will be accepted by Allah. And of course, when Quran is being recited, see, Quran recited, people are making noise. When Quran is being recited, the moment is over, raise up your hand. We all have hajat. We all have needs. Raise up your hand and make dua. Immediately Quran is finished. Wallahi, Allah will not deny us. But if you do not do that, then our du'as will not be accepted by Allah. And of course, when dua is being recited, everyone must face Qibla. Qibla is a condition. And in addition to Qibla, raise up your hand. Rasulullah said, whoever raises up his hand during the dua, high up until his armpit is shown, before he drops the hands down, he will find what he wants from Allah. And lastly, don't doubt when you ask Allah. Don't doubt. If you doubt, it's a problem. Hence, in the dua, we said, وَمِن دُعَا إِلَّا يُسْمَى. Allah, we seek refuge from you, that you should listen to our dua. What are those sins that will make dua to stop? Su'un niyyah, evil intention. Some people, they have evil intention. They don't wish everybody good. Evil intention. You may get something in your life, the rest you will not get it. And if you get it, there will be no barakah in it. Number two, hypocrisy. Nifaq. Double standard. Whoever is double standard. I see you, I love her. Chacha. Barabar. Barabar. Then I say, hey, this chacha is fujo, man. It's a problem. Double standard. Nifaq will make dua not to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, tarkul ihsan. When people stop being generous. We talk about Yemen. When people stop being generous, especially the youth, be more generous than the elders. The little that you have, give it out. The more generous you become, the more your du'as are accepted, because you are still young. The life is in your front. The ball is in your hand. The more generous you are, the more Allah makes your life prosperous. You obtain success. So Imam Jafar said, when people stop being generous, their du'as will not be accepted. As we find Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam in Karbala, in each and every step, in each and every moment, Hussein would make dua. Hussein will make dua. But there is one dua which pierces the heart of each and every one of us. That is the dua of Sayyida Zainab alayha salam. What was the dua? Aba Abdullah al-Hussein narration says, came and bidded farewell. We know. After bidding farewell, as he was going, that conversation between him and Zainab, yes. And then he bidded farewell with Bibi Sakina alayhi salam and Kulthum. Narration says, as Aba Abdullah al-Husayn was bidding final farewell with Sakina and Kulthum,
they came and started attacking Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah left Sakina and Kulthum and he headed towards the battlefield. We all know how they attacked Abu Abdullah, but there is the dua I want you to remember. After they've slain Abu Abdullah al-Husayn in Karbala, after Shimr sat on the chest of Abu Abdullah and beheaded Abu Abdullah, Sayyida Zainab made dua, Allahumma Rabbana taqabbal minna hadhal qurban. Oh Allah, accept from us this qurban. Yani, this is the dua. Zainab in that moment remembered that the only way is to resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in Shami Ghariba, narration says, later on, all those ladies in the camp of Abu Abdullah, Kulthum, Sakina, Layla, Ramla, Rubaba, they all got tired. But there is a moment with Zainab and Rubaba. We are told when Amid ibn Muslim was heading towards Haimada, Zainab saw him coming and she said, oh man, what are you coming to do? We've been hurt so much. He said, no, I'm coming to help you because I heard you pleading for help. Zainab asked him, have you seen a lady around? Zainab was asking about Bibi Rubaba. He said, no, I heard the voice of a lady that side. They went, they found Rubaba with Zainab. Zainab asked Rubaba, why are you going up and down around? Rubaba said, no, I am looking for Ali ibn al-Asghar. Zainab said, why are you looking for Ali ibn al-Asghar? She said, wallah, we were denied water and everything, but they have given us water now, so I have a breast milk for Ali ibn al-Asghar. Then you know what Bibi Rubaba said to Zainab? Zainab, maybe I'm not a good mother. Zainab said, no, Rubaba, you are a good mother. She said, no, Zainab, I want Ali ibn al-Asghar. One narration says, she saw the body of Asghar when the arrows were on the neck of Ali ibn al-Asghar. Narration says, later on, all the ladies fell asleep, but Zainab did not sleep. But eventually, later on, she got tired, and Zainab started sleeping. Narration says, in her sleep, a man appeared to her in a black cloth. Then Zainab said, oh man, who are you? Are you coming to hurt us or what? If you are coming to hurt us, we are already considered prisoners. Let me give you and leave you with this response. You know the response of the man? He said, oh Zainab, don't you recognize your father? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين مأتم الحسين يا حسين.